The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And I think the big C Church, capital C Church, hasn't done a great job at really understanding the Godhead.
Has the nature of the Holy Spirit ever confused you? Alex Seeley sheds light on the third member of the Godhead.
He's also very much a person. He has feelings, he has a will, he has a mind. Huh. He senses he can be grieved. So when you start to see him as a person, you start to relate to him differently.
Yeah.
Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Belinda Lane joins me.
How are you? Hello, Randy. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm excited about the conversation today. It's interesting on many different levels because being raised in the church, you know, we know lots of stories about Jesus, of course, mm-hmm. and we read a lot about God.
God the Father.
The Father, yes. Yeah. And then there's the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how you were raised, but I kind of been around the block in
you know,
the church.
I was thinking about it because growing up, I kind of heard of the Holy Spirit during baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy,
and the Holy Spirit.
And that was... But that was kind of
was
the extent of it.
We didn't really talk about it. We had the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible in my first church. And then, you know, I went to Oral Roberts University, mm-hmm. and I'm like, well, they're talking about this all the time.
All the time, right? Yes.
And I'm thinking, okay, what is the proper view? And
Always knew there was more that I needed and wanted to know.
It can be a little mm-hmm. slippery in terms of wrapping your mind around it. So I'm excited about today. We have a guest who can maybe...
She's a friend of life today.
Alex, so welcome back to Life Today.
Thank you.
The book is The Divine Counselor, and it is about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I guess, first of all, why the topic? Because there's probably a lot of books about it, but there's something you wanted to share.
Yeah, I think for so long I have been in ministry and, you know, pastoring people alongside my husband, and there has been this range of understanding.
There you go.
You know, it's and true. I think people have either had a really terrible experience mm-hmm. or no experience. And I think the big C Church, capital C Church, hasn't done a great job at really understanding the Godhead. We are a triune, we have a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we'll pray it, but why not engage mm-hmm. with the third person of the Trinity? And I think it's very important because Jesus was adamant that, you know, he had to go back to the Father mm-hmm. so that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would come back, be the Spirit of truth to reveal us his truth, reveal everything that he spoke about on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't think we understand the power of the Holy Spirit. We think he's weird and maybe sometimes wonderful because we've related to him as a dove, a fire, a wind, the rain, the oil. And while he's likened to those things in Scripture, he's also very much a person. And I think if we learned how to relate to the person of Holy Spirit, he was the one that revealed Jesus when we got saved. Mm-hmm. And so why haven't we maintained this relationship? And so I'm very, very passionate because he was the revealer of all the issues in my life that led me to know Jesus. And Jesus was able to heal parts of my life that I know that wouldn't have happened if I'd just known information.
Do you think that in general, people who haven't, like you said, either spectrum, either grew up in a church that didn't talk about the Holy Spirit that much, or maybe how it was presented in their church was really maybe weird, if that's the right word to
say. We can say that.
Idolized
maybe.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, because I feel like the conversation around the Holy Spirit is one that I'm in a lot these days.
Yes.
Culturally, I feel like we're becoming a lot more comfortable with that conversation because I think we recognize we've missed out on so much, on the power in our mm-hmm. life. It's what comforts us. I mean, and so do you find, as you were writing this and as you were talking to other people and getting stories, that it's a conversation that people are more accepting of and the role in their life?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, in leading the church with my husband in Nashville, Tennessee for the last 12 years, it was alarming to me how many people didn't know about the power and the person. I think they heard the words, they knew about but they didn't understand the function of what they needed in their life. So the more we would present the person of the Holy Spirit, not in a weird way, but a powerful way, people were like, why wasn't I taught this when I was a kid? Like, what? This could have eliminated all the issues. You know, I could have literally got freer earlier and, you know, gone through my life knowing that I had a helper, a counselor, an advocate, a teacher right by my side. So I think for me, it's the thought that, man, if that's just the people in my sphere over the last 12 years, how many other people are struggling with this topic? And that's why I wanted to write about it.
I think the difficulty for a lot of us, because, I mean, I still sometimes I'm trying to figure out how that looks, right?
Yeah.
Is the idea of Jesus you get, because you're like, oh, he was born here. He walked here. He said these things and people heard it, you know? And then you kind of think of God as, you know, creator, the originator of all things. And you kind of get that. I will say that God, for a lot of people, feels a little remote, right?
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit is supposed to be very personal.
Yes.
And everywhere, and these are concepts that, especially in Western culture, where we have a very strong humanistic influence.
Yeah.
I notice when I go like over to, you know, parts of Southeast Asia, China, over there, even Africa, they seem to be a lot more in tune with the idea of the Spirit, a Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We don't know quite what to do with it.
Yes.
Okay. So, is personalization, recognizing his personhood, one of the first steps to properly understanding the relationship?
Yes, I think that's brilliant because he is a person. And I put that in one of the chapters. I say he's not a what, he's a who. And then through scripture, it backs up. He has feelings. He has a will. He has a mind. He senses he can be grieved. So when you start to see him as a person, you start to relate to him differently.
Yeah.
And so the fact is that you can't be saved without the Spirit of God, because it was the Holy Spirit that drew you pointed you to Jesus. He convicts the world of sin. He reveals the truth. So we've heard his voice, but we don't know how to now engage with it. And so we've got to know him as a person, because when you can relate to someone as a person, I think because we've seen, I grew up hearing the Holy Ghost. And as a kid, you're like, the ghost? I don't want to. How do you relate to a ghost?
Right.
You know, but that meant Spirit. But Jesus said, I have to go so that the Spirit of truth can come and be your counselor, comforter, advocate, standby, strengthener. Like all of these beautiful things that we get. It's like the disciples, right? They walked with Jesus for 3.5 years in the flesh. And he said, it's to your advantage that I go away. And I can imagine the disciples going, no, it's not.
Right.
We need you here because you have raised the dead, healed the sick, you know, multiplied food. We need you. And he said, oh, no, but I'm limited to time, space, and geography. But my Spirit in all of you is going to multiply across the earth. So you need this. And it's going to be like having me walking with you, talking with you, counseling you, because the Holy Spirit doesn't talk apart from God, the Father and the Son.
That's right.
Okay, wait. I have many times thought, especially like watching The Chosen, I would have been so cool to walk with Jesus and actually talk with him and actually hear what he has to say and see what he does. You're kind of saying we can.
We can. The Spirit of Christ. That's what Holy Spirit is, Spirit of Christ in us. It's the Spirit that revealed Jesus. It's the Spirit that illuminates the scriptures. It's the Spirit that wrote those scriptures through those men of God. So why aren't we encountering him as a person? And I know for me, it's been the Holy Spirit that has actually become my friend to say, Alex, you know those convicting moments where you get that check, don't say that, don't think like that. How about remember what Jesus said? He's always shifting me to becoming more like him. We need the Spirit of God to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus. So it is.
It is. And because I think about in my journey, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that wasn't really something that I was even taught. And then through college, and I went to a Spirit-filled church, as that was how you defined it in the day, and became so familiar. When you said the word friend, that was my first introduction to the Holy Spirit, was as friend.
Yes.
It wasn't weird. It was friend. And then it became the power that I mm-hmm. that I live within, and how the yeah. fruit of the Spirit, we talk
That's
about
it.
That, the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. how do I have all these things, the peace and the joy and the goodness
yes.
and the kindness, how do I have that without Him?
Yeah.
And so it did become so personal
yeah.
to me. And so I would love to know, what was that in your life
yeah.
where it became so real, like I
yes.
can't take a next breath without really yeah. grasping this for my own life.
Yeah, I was 11 years of age when I invited Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And the week later, I went back to my little tiny Italian evangelical Pentecostal church. And I didn't even really wait to be asked. I just ran to the altar at the end of service and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and my prayer language unlocked. And I was 11. And so you don't really make it up when you're 11. I had a visible encounter, tangible encounter. And I remember a week ago I got saved and I felt the love of Jesus and the freedom of sin being lifted off of my person. But now I felt emboldened. I felt this power that I thought, here's me as an 11-year-old kid, and I was going to a very private school that didn't really believe what we believed. And I was just sharing my faith, and I realized, hold on a minute, something transformed in me.
Wow.
And then I started to exercise the gifts of the Spirit. I started having words of knowledge for my friends at school, like God would drop a thought in and I'd say, this might be weird, but has this happened? And they're like, how do you know? And I go, I just felt the Lord tell me. Mm. They'd be crying. And so I start to see this outworking of the Spirit of God at work in me as a child.
Precious.
And also I had my own issues as a kid. And I would find myself relating to Holy Spirit where He would be healing those parts of brokenness and pain and abuse and all those words that the enemy was lying to me. He was always coming with a counter truth, you know, like he was like, no, that's a lie. This is the truth. So for me, I had such a personal encounter. And then obviously in the church that I went to, apart from that, went to another church, they taught me about how to hear His voice, how to relate to Him as a person, how to move in the gifts of the Spirit, because this is useful. This is why it's an advantage, because we're actually needing to do this so that the world can see that Jesus is real and that He is powerful. And this is why the Acts church was so on fire, because they had the baptism of fire and then they went out into the world, fulfilled the Great Commission, but with signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's what I believe the church lacks today. We've got the knowledge of our salvation and our ticket to heaven, so to speak, but we don't walk in the power to show that, hey, there's an advantage that the world doesn't have.
I have an odd question. No surprise to Melinda.
No question is an odd question, Randy. No, I've learned that.
So you've mentioned a couple of different things in the context.
Yeah.
One would be like the Holy Spirit convicting.
Yes.
And I think we recognize that. You know, yeah. I say something kind of rude to my wife and I feel like this, you need to apologize right now and acknowledge that and at least go, okay. And you go, okay, that's helpful, believe me. Then you mention, you know, having words of knowledge for your friends. And I got to tell you, for a lot of people, they're like, whoa, hang on, you know. And even sharing your faith for a lot of people is frightening.
Yeah.
I was driving here, and I haven't told anybody this. I was driving here a few weeks ago, and it was a two-lane road, and they put in a roundabout.
Yeah.
And Texans are like, what did you just do? And
they're like, that's right. True.
It is true. So this guy goes to hit it, and he has a full load of 2x4s, like 10 or 12 foot.
Wow.
They were long. And they weren't secured very good, and they're on one of those pickup trucks with those things. He lost the load. And I'm like, you know, and everybody else just like, and people were trying to pass him in the other lane and honking and, you know, and I'm kind of pinned. I got the traffic going around me. I got to wait for it to clear before I can go around and honk at him and the idiot, you know. And I just felt, you know what, get out and help him pick that wood up. So I put my blinkers on, my flashers on, and I left my car parked right there and I got out. And I mean, we had semis like going around us and stuff and helped this guy. And later I was like, huh. Okay. You know, I wouldn't naturally. I'm like, dude, your problem, your mistake, your problem. Do you think the Holy Spirit operates on levels that almost mundane?
Absolutely. And if we could learn to tap into that and lean into that, we would make a difference in this world.
Yeah.
It's sometimes being in the Starbucks line and hearing this prompting of pay for the person behind you or in your grocery aisle, ask that person if they need help. Like, It's the little things, because honestly, I think we try and make it these big spiritual things.
Big moves of God.
Yeah, yes. No. It's just the small, still voice of being obedient, because that will change that person's life that day. And all you did was something very small, but you obeyed the prompting.
Yeah.
And that's how he speaks. It's through our thoughts. The enemy speaks to us loud and clear. We hear the negative. We hear the lie. Mm-hmm. So what makes you think that God doesn't speak to us? We've just got to obey it.
Okay, so to someone who's listening to this and they're like, well, I don't know if I'm hearing the Holy Spirit. How do you tell someone to discern the voice and the prompting of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, great question. Well, first of all, the voice of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit is not condemning. It does not guilt you.
Yes.
It does not shame you. And it's not negative. So if you hear something come in, you know, we all get intrusive thoughts, but then we also get thoughts that feel random, but they're positive or they're helpful, or you're like, why did I just think of that person? Or why do I get a feeling that I have to call that person? That is often Holy Spirit prompting you to do something. So just start there. Everyone has heard the voice of God if they're saved, because you heard the call respond to his invitation.
Right.
So you heard him long before you even knew what his voice sounded like. And I often tell people his voice sounds like his word. Mm. So the more word that's in you, the more his voice is going to be familiar to you.
That's great.
How do we prove to the world that the Holy Spirit is real and is working? Is there any proof?
Yes, your life, the fruit of the Spirit. Mm. In this day and age, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. So just that reveals that we look like Jesus.
Yeah.
Not only that, for me, the proof is that I should be a statistic. I should be full of anxiety. I should be riddled with addiction because of the trauma that I endured as a child. It's not there because Jesus healed me through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our lives are walking billboards that the Holy Spirit is real and that Jesus is real and that he heals and he transforms. So we have a responsibility to walk this earth with the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to look different, walk different. That's why, you know, the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts went, we don't know who these guys are because they're unschooled, ordinary men, but we can tell they've been with Jesus.
Oh, well, yeah.
And that is how we prove he's real.
The fruit of the Spirit, and I know you know this, but I always like to point it out because I was a little slow to catch on. Because I thought, if I want to prove I have the Holy Spirit, I have to try to love more, I have to try to have more patience, I have to try to be kinder. And it was my work.
So
I didn't even realize it. Yeah. How do we naturally produce fruit without creating our own artificial fruit?
Stay connected to the vine.
There you go.
Right? So a tree doesn't have to perform. A tree just does what it's created to do if it's connected to the source. Mm-hmm. When you're connected to the source, you'll produce fruit. And what we have is a church disconnected. We go to church on Sunday for 90 minutes, and then the rest of the week we're disconnected.
And we rely on that pastor
to
feed us.
Right.
That's not the vine.
Right.
Jesus is the vine, and God the Father is the gardener. And we've got to stay connected to Jesus.
Which in a way is kind of full circle to how you started by saying, when Jesus said, it's better that I go away, it's because now as citizens of this earth, citizens of heaven,
we
have to, it's a mandate on us that we have to stay connected so
that
his word can go forth. How else will it go forth if we don't stay connected?
I can't.
So it was like his plan all along that we would partner with him.
That's right. Yeah, because we are his now representatives on this earth as it is in heaven. In fact, Jesus was like, the kingdom of heaven is now. Mm-hmm. Let's not be waiting to go to heaven because we want to reveal the glory of God on earth.
Yep, Amen. That's right. And if you stay connected, I can promise you there's something you're going to want to do.
Yeah.
And that is to reach out with God's love to people in need, to provide the needs, as Jesus provided food, healing, comfort, and the Holy Spirit now provides our daily needs. You can be an expression of God by providing a need that I'm going to show you. And when you do, if you request The Divine Counselor by Alex Seeley, we would love to send it to you. But more importantly, take a look at this and see how you can express God's love in someone's life today.
When my husband and I moved here, it was a very isolated and poor community. There's no clean water wells here, so we had to dig our own well. He dug the dirt and filled up a bucket, and I would lift it up to take away. I was pregnant during this time, then one night my belly began to hurt, and I started to bleed. At the clinic, they said I had miscarried. My baby had died. We keep chickens and animals here to help us earn money and support our family. But when it rains, their waste flows down towards our well. I try to boil our water or filter it with a white cloth. Most of the time, my daughter has a stomach ache and diarrhea. The clinic told me the cause of her sickness is the dirty water. I would be so excited if you came back and drilled a new well. If we had clean water, we wouldn't worry about disease. I have hope that our whole village can be without sickness. I would like to request that if you drill a new well, can you do it at the school so the children can have clean water? And all the people in our community can come and get clean water there too.
It's so hard to watch. You know, Belinda, I suppose I can't really fully relate to the pain of a mother. It's got to be awful.
Oh, it's awful. I mean, I think about miscarriage, no matter what, is terrible.
Yeah.
But when I think about a miscarriage because of something that is preventable, something that here we would never see in the United States, it's really painful. It's remarkable when you see the well that the husband dug on his own and how much hope, even a little bit of hope that would have given them that that's the answer. Mm-hmm. And then to find out that even that didn't work because it so easily gets contaminated.
It's so hard. People ask, you know, don't they do this? Don't they boil it? Don't they try to strain? Yes, they collect
it in
the rains.
They try everything.
And, you know, here in Texas, you think, okay, it rains in the spring, but what if that's all the water you had until October.
Imagine trying to capture all that and keep it clean.
You couldn't do it. And so the solution is so simple. That's why we're coming to you right now and saying, will you join us in Water for Life? There are stories like this that we hear everywhere we go. If you look at the 20 nations where we're drilling water wells this year, our goal is 350, by the way. I'd love to surpass that. These are lives that are impacted directly by your response. This is your love, your gift, your sacrifice, perhaps, that has an impact that goes far beyond really what you'll ever see. And the breakdown is that an average well costs about $4,800. So a gift of $48 would effectively serve 10 people with clean drinking water for life. Because as Belinda alluded to, some of the wells that they dig on their own, whether by hand or by, you know, rudimentary machine, it doesn't get to that pure, clean drinking water. And when you help provide a water well, you provide one that goes as deep as it needs to go to get to clean water. And it's built in such a way that it will last for an average of 70 years. It's covered. There's a pump put on it. You're not going to get the wind and the animal waste and the things that contaminate water so easily. So we're asking you, will you reach out with God's love today? Will you give someone clean drinking water? Will you give them hope for a future? Will you give them not death, but life?
Every day, far too many lives are lost to waterborne disease. And tragically, children under the age of 5 are the most vulnerable. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give desperate mothers hope and precious children a future by helping provide clean, life-giving water before it's too late. Our goal this year is to drill 350 water wells in areas where the need is greatest, but it won't be possible without you. Today, your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. In thanks for your gift of any amount, we'll send you Prayers for My Spiritual Health, This beautifully crafted prayer book will meet you in the places where anxiety, grief, and spiritual weariness run deep, guiding you through prayers for inner peace, emotional healing, and intimacy with God. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Your Life of Prayer bundle. This collection includes prayers for my spiritual health, along with prayers for my physical health and the Life Prayer Journal, three companions to help strengthen your walk with Christ. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our inspiring bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, so many people don't have a choice when it comes to water. The only water source that they have is the one nearest them, in this case, a river. When you look at it, it doesn't look too bad. It's a little dirty, but you can see some of the areas where there's moss and animals and people bathing and swimming. They tell us it's not so much what you can see in here that's dangerous, it's what you can't see. It's what goes into the stomachs and to the systems of even the youngest of children. And it hits them the hardest. Fresh, clean drinking water. You can give that to them. We need to come into this village and that village over there across the river. We need to come in with many water wells. I'm asking you to make that possible. You will be helping to save a life. Let's give them life. Let's share the love and life of Christ with them. Please go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. Alex, thank you so much for being here. Belinda, I've enjoyed it.
First off, I just want to thank you for your pastor's heart. Like that's really what comes through is just your desire for people to grab a hold of this truth. So thank you for that. But The Divine Counselor, it's an awesome book. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
If you want The Divine Counselor, be sure to request it today as you support Water for Life. And come back. We'll see you again next time on Life Today.
And so if we try to silence half of the body of Christ, then we have restricted the gift set.
Women's roles in the church tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.